One.
Blog Talk Radio. Come get this teaching arranged by the author Sherelle Omeika Bidiako Garth. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching. I'm just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. Well, we've taken our music to another place, somewhere out there in the middle of space, busting out with lines of ebonics, reducing ourselves to a level of demonics, when we can be pushing albums that blind it. Instead, we choose to front it. Well, we don't take without giving back. We do this in order to circumvent lack. It's a fact. It's the principle of reciprocity in act. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching. I'm just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. While we've gone from paying some dues to singing someone else's blues, we can't continue to allow ourselves to be used. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching. I'm just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. We went from segregated to integrated to miseducated, now to reeducated. It's time. It's time. We've been dedicated before we soon regret it. Put down the pipes. Lift up your heads and let's possess the mics. For we're taking this music to a brand new height. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching, just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. Once rendered mute, unable to use the words of our own pursuit, we've got a brand new vocabulary at our disposal. While we're not even writing our own proposals, while the stories of the ghetto hood unfold, of the coming one to be foretold, didn't you know it? That it's our time now to manufacture our own flavor of rhyme. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching, just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. Let's take the message to a higher ground, like Stevie Wonder and James Brown. While we don't have time for fooling around, let's take the beat. Let's take the beat where we can all get down, where we can all get down. Knowledge and truth is what the people want to hear in this critical time of living in fear. Let's possess the stage like the coming of the new millennium age. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching, just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. Now I'll ask you, are you the one? Or is there another to come to take this music to a higher level? And if you aren't, then come get this teaching and give it to those who I'm not reaching.
Thank you for joining Care to Talk. You have your host here this evening, Omeika 7, bringing you this broadcasting on behalf of Project 2019 and our effort to spread the news that there is a way we can break through the literacy through finding the necessary materials to bring into the homes. At this time, I'd like to introduce you to our new segment, Spiritual Lifeline, bringing the spiritual lifeline to you in the area of mind, body, and spirit. Today's segment will be featured on the show on the spiritual side of the lifestyle. And to talk about that process, we will be bringing a special guest on today. And as you know, we have completed our sixth series on Care to Read. However, we are still about the process of breaking through the literacy, so we will be bringing featured authors on, talking about various different publishers, in addition to talking about our health and understanding how we could become more spiritual, and what does it mean to be spiritual, and who is a spiritual counselor, how can you become endowed with spirituality, and are there any African priests or priestesses left in society today? And how does religion develop? Does it develop through your religiosity, or is your religion born out of your culture? We are going to be addressing those issues today, and we're going to be talking to Christians who might be stuck out there and need a way of escape. because you are practicing your customs and traditions and rituals, you are not free. You are held in bondage. You find yourself locked into a traditional church. We must remember that during the time that the Nicene Council ran, that religion was given to us through the Nicene Council. Christianity was handed to us, and we were instructed how to carry it out. However, if we are African Americans, is there a customary way we are to regularize ourselves in society? Must we draw our religion from our customs and traditions? And if you are stuck and you're looking for a way of an escape and you're trying to find out, is it okay to discuss my spirituality? Is it all right for me to go public and let someone know that I'm more spiritual than I am religious? And is it all right for me to talk about the fact that I can see into people's lives, that I can speak into their lives, and I can meditate, and things are brought to me supernaturally? If you are out there in the audience, ladies and gentlemen, and you are trying to find yourself, you're trying to find where you fit in because you're a dreamer, you're a visionary, and you cannot discuss these things amongst your colleagues or your congregation, here's the place to discuss it, right here on Blog Talk Radio. That number that you can call in on is 646-478-0270. And right about now, I'd like to tell you a little bit about our featured guest for this evening. Her name is Gail Bradford. Gail Bradford comes to us from East Chicago, Indiana. She also has an African name, Shekema Shemak, meaning the Asa or Set. Information about her name, just a little bit about the Aset. The Aset name comes from a feminine name, and that is the mother clone of the Orishas. And being feminine, this is the area that is focused on a word of power, internal strength. Her name was given to her because it was supposed to bring internal strength. Then the other side of her name, Shekema, and that name was given to her because this is the moon goddess. And the moon goddess brings about the water and the ocean, translated into meditation, and also a feminine side of the Kemetic teaching. Her training comes from the Kemetic aspices. However, she was a self-initiated, trained spiritualist priestess. Now, let me define something for you so that you will understand. Today, she will be discussing information. She is not open right now for any type of oracle reading or divination. However, in the future, you might be able to contact her at a later date. Today, we're bringing her on because we're trying to free a large portion of our society because we are in a collapse system right now. And things are due to change by the year 2012. And we are now coming into the dispensation of waking up. Some of us are realizing our true nature. And our true nature, in essence, comes from a supreme being. We are now finding out that we can function as gods. And as we function as gods, we are beginning to ask ourselves, where do we get this frequency from? What makes us vibrate? And if we could calibrate our frequency levels at a higher level, we can help ourselves to diagnose, prevent, and help each person to find their place in society. This evening, Gail is going to come on to talk a little bit about those things. I'm urging you to call in at 646-478-0270. And right about now, I am about to bring her on and introduced her. So I'd like to borrow your airways, community. Just lend me your airways for approximately 1 hour, then I'll give you your world back. Let's stay tuned for identification here, and I will be right back at you, and you will be in the air. And if you're out there in the atmosphere, my co-host, Gail, I'd like to say hello to you.
Good evening.
Good evening, Mrs. Bradford. You're in the air.
With my kinetic name, you don't mind, I like to correct.
Would you please? I do not speak Kemetic or Arabic, but I would like for you to enunciate that word again, and we will find time where we can go in details on that. But can you pronounce that name again, the African name? Can you say that again? I couldn't hear you.
Shaherta Shekin.
Okay. Now, Mrs. Bradford, if you will allow me to, I would like to tell the listening audience once again, you can call in with your questions. However, we are going to ask Mrs. Bradford, we're going to use her traditional slave name, if I might add, because we don't want to butcher the Kemetic name. Mrs. Bradford.
And I would like to clarify some of the meaning. The second is power. Keeper of her house, feminine power, spiritual power, time, trends, destiny. And the offset part of it is female, trance, meditation, moon, water, anything to do with females.
And I
was
I'd
given
like to
that
thank
name.
For...
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was given that name by the ancestors. And it, like I said, my destiny was Sekert Offset. Okay. And because of my trance ability, that's why I was given that name. It was divine.
Now, I have a question, Mrs. Bradford. Normally, in the Kemetic Institute or in the society, is there three names given or just the two?
Well, how it was given to me, a destiny reading was done, okay? And the two deities, Sekert and Offset, those were the two deities that are on my head, so to speak. And that's how I got my name.
Okay. I do know exactly what you're talking about. And listening audience, I want to once again reiterate the fact that we're talking about Kemetic teaching here. Names are very important. They do mean something. Whenever we are in the presence of a higher order, this is a secret society. Normally, the society does not open up membership. You are selected and called to the society, and there's several of them out there in the African tradition. The Asa Aset up under the Kemetic is one of them, and then there's also the Yoruba under Ifa. It just so happened that I was drawn to Mrs. Bradford because I had gotten word that she was of the secret society, just as I am of a secret society. Let me say this to you, audience. The secret society is set up primarily so that you understand that that you don't just bring yourself into this organization. You are actually selected, and upon being selected, there is a sizable amount of training. Isn't that right, Mrs. Bradford?
Yes, if you want to enter the priesthood, yes. Cheryl?
Oh, I'm here. Go ahead. I'm listening.
Oh, okay. Yes, if you want to enter the priesthood, it's years of training.
Okay. I didn't hear you. Can you repeat what you said?
Yeah, if you want to enter the priesthood, it's years of training. You have to know about pretty much almost every topic under the sun, really. Healing, herbs, working with subtle energy, meditation methods, pretty much anything that involves life, you have to know something about it. You may not be expert at everything, but at least you have some knowledge of oracle reading is a must for the priesthood.
Now, as I was earlier saying the secret societies are now cropping up all over the internet. I'd like to say for the record, normally you are invited to these organizations. They don't disperse that information openly, or do they talk about the divinations and the oracle reading right on the internet. But I'm beginning to see them all over the internet, and I know that the spirits may be somewhat distressed or angry about that, because when I learned the information that was given to me, it had to be done in somewhat of a private setting in the home. And you just don't choose to become one of the Yaladays or high priestess. You are selected. And when you're selected, the oracles are read to see what was your purpose and what did you come here to do. It's sort of a direction for your life. And once you are given that direction for your life, the names represent something, and they are definitely important in your life, because those are the essence that you carry. So it's not just a name. The name means something, and it's personal to you, just as religion is personal to you, and it should be a personal decision that you make, and it doesn't have to be shared with everyone. I know on a regular basis, people talk about their faith and which denomination that they have chosen and where they abide at. But for me, I have been taught a long time ago that this is a personal thing. If you choose not to discuss your personal relationship because you fellowship and worship at home in the privacy of your home, then that is fine. However, people are now becoming broadcasters of where they go to church, how they worship, and what they do. Let me say that the African traditional religion will allow you to also have a faith. At least Ifa will allow you to have a faith, and you can also practice in the membership of Ifa. Our organization is out of Milwaukee, so you can become a member at the same time. If you choose to practice any religion, you can. They don't negate that you can no longer practice any other religion. I have been a minister in the Christian faith for over 20 years as an evangelist and was traditionally trained in that area. However, upon completing my training, I went on to train at the higher level, Ifa level. Now, I like to explain that there's several different levels of the African faith, but they all generally are the same, just different names. You will have like the Ifa, you will have the Icon, the Vodun, and the Kemetic. And these operate similarly together, and they just have different names of their deities, but they all have expression of deities, which are not gods. And I like to say that we are not a monotheistic society. We are polytheistic, meaning we believe in one God. And these deities are expressions of God. They are not God. However, we do believe that God is triad, just as you believe the Trinity. We believe that the triad in the Yoruba, that they talk about they talk about Oladulamore, Olede, Olia. And each one of these are the Godhead that represent and function in three different capacities, just like in the Trinity for Jesus, the Holy Ghost, and God. And each one of those gods have a job to do. Somewhere along the line, people have gotten a notion that the Godhead that created this universe is concerned with their fear and that he would come here and handle their fear. You must look at this religion as a matriotic society, and you must also look at it as a society that has a protocol, a chain of command. You don't go into the president without getting an appointment, and you don't go in skipping to glory to get to heaven without following proper channels. And that's the same way when you want to speak to the higher Godhead, you must go through the proper channels. And that is why they have the deities to access the deities to get through to the higher force, which is a God. Now, let me say this so I can tell you why this whole show has come about. We are talking about consumer family education. We are trying to make a difference in the home. We are trying to find areas that could be broadened and somewhat We visited so that we can correct them. We are having problems with a collapsing financial system where our monies have now been depleted from the banks and from our pension plans. And we are also finding problems with communication, relationships. So everything appears to be upside down and broken. But Ephah says, he will mend your broken heart. Our solutions are in understanding our culture and identifying with our culture so that when we identify with our culture, we draw our religion from our culture. So for those of you who have been locked in to Eurocentric societies or churches, found yourself fighting to find who you were as a culturally literate African and want to be African, because that is the only question today, to be or not to be African. Our religion comes out of our culture, people. You must know this. Please do not think that this is pagan or Bush people. I am a member of the African race because I bear the scars on my face as a burnt-skinned Nubian. I cannot change that no matter how much education Mrs. Bradford and I get. We can't change that. And we come from a strong custom that has rich, rooted training in the African religion that all of the religions sprung from. So do not, at the end of this show, think it to be strange that we're Bush people. We are exercising our right to be who we are, and that is African. And we both have elected to go back into our lineage, find our ancestors. Oh, yes, we're going to do this thing right. Before we speak any further, we're going to ask permission from the ancestors to speak. And the ancestors will want to know who initiated us, who empowered us. And before we speak, we pay homage to the ancestors and Most High. And anyone in your family is an ancestor. Your heroes also you give homage to. And you call their names periodically and exercise the right to remember their name. And remember this, it is up to the living to stay in touch with the dead. And it's very important that we understand that we're not talking to dead people. Energy can never die, nor could it be dissipated, nor could it be recreated. It has a frequency that lives on. Even when you're piled 6 feet under in the grave, there is a vibration that will never cease. Know this. Now let me go back to our guest, and we're going to talk about how do you become initiated? How do you become initiated? And what makes you initiated, and how are you chosen, and what can you do to speed up the process when you think you're clairvoyant, when you think you have the gift of healing? Do you stay in the church, and do you hide yourself, or do you come out and let the church know, I'm African, I must practice in my profession, in my faith? How do you do this, Mrs. Bradford? Just tell me. Give the audience some information.
Now, I'm going to give you my opinion about that. I think you're kind of chosen for that before you get to the planet. Usually, well, in me anyway, it came out in me at a very early age. And so I never truly got too attached to things like Christianity. It's like I came here knowing that, hey, it's more to it than this. And no matter what happened to me along the way, no matter how many people hurt me, ridiculed me, made me cry, whatever, it was something I just couldn't stop coming. It was just something in me urging me on. You know,
Had you ever gone to church before at all as a child or as
an
adult?
Yeah, I went to church, but it just did not stick with me. I wasn't attached. And when I was a small child, you know, they used to give those little Jesus pictures in Sunday school, and incidentally, I'd get kicked out every Sunday. I would take them and play in the sand with them.
What would you say is the benefits of practicing African traditional religion opposed to the Christianity?
Well, one thing, the Africans, you want to travel inward, whereas Christianity just talking. And, you know, we know talk is of the intellect, and talk is cheap, as the ancestors say. You know, you want rituals that help you travel inward. You know, you just, to me, in church, you're just sitting on a bench listening to somebody talking. I mean, talk.
I like that.
That's what I'm saying. You want to travel inward. That's the only way you're going to really find your true faith.
Mm-hmm.
You got to connect.
I believe that wholeheartedly, because you are going to get so many versions of God, and people don't realize that we are all gods, and our only mission here on this earth is to press God through so that we might be able to allow God to have experience through us.
I don't want to interrupt you too much, but maybe a pointer that I could give to somebody is, first of all, you got to have the courage to explore. You know, one path is not going to enlighten you. It's going to take more than one path to do that. Okay? You're going to have the courage. Well, in my opinion, everybody should lead a church and embrace and practice other religions and paths. And if after then they decide they want to go back to church, fine. It would be an inner decision for them. But mostly Christianity is imposed on you from the external. You know, you're doing it maybe because your parents did it and, you know, the slave master beat it into you. And just because of that, it can't do you right. How can it? Something imposed and forced on you.
So you have to have a journey inwardly so you can find God, really, because we are the temple, and if God resides in us, that real church is us, and we need to take that journey on the inside.
Yes, you need the inner journey. And, well, the outer journey is you need to explore different beliefs, different ideals. You know, we tend to think that what we believe is how it is.
And even
you know,
with
every
the religions,
belief is, put it this way, every belief is valid, okay?
Uh-huh.
Every belief, because they're in the universe. But, you see, you got to find your own. No,
and there is no one that is correct. You will find truth in all of them and error in all of them. So I don't aspire to religion. I aspire to spirit, because that doesn't change. It's consistent.
Yes, consciousness. You know, you just have to have the courage to make that journey. And I'm telling you, it's danger in the journey. It's pain in the journey. You know, you're not going to be comfortable along that journey. Okay? It's just something has to be something in you that wants to take that journey. You know, a person is still afraid like that. I guess I was just born for that.
Well, I wouldn't just say you were the only one born for it. I would say that we all were born for it. If we have melanin in our bodies, we are spiritual, and that comes along with the process of being melanin enriched. So we all have this capability, but whether or not we've exercised it is a different story. And what I'm trying to do here today is to wake up a few people to let them know, because in their DNA, in the very part of their DNA and their medulla oblongata, that there lies a blueprint of all of the things that our ancestors left us with. He didn't just leave me or you with it. He left all of us with it. But we have to be awakened. We are in a slumber sleep. We are anesthetized. And as we begin to give words and give affirmation and confirmation, eventually those people will wake up.
Well, that person will have to basically first, you have to deal with yourself as an individual. You know, you're going to have to stand tough against your fear. You know, it takes courage to follow the spirit.
And I will say this. I have met people who are probably clairvoyant. They are also energy readers, and they can mm-hmm. diagnose. I have met people who have all these gifts, and they don't profess any of them. The average person walking around, I can show them where they possess all these skills without ever being taught. They're there. Yeah. They're just laid dormant. And just as you see an accident, and this adrenaline comes in a person when they have to save a life. They're doing things supernaturally that they didn't thought they could do. Now, I'm going to transition over from the spiritual to the metaphysics, and I'm going to say that we've heard about The Secret. We've heard about laws of attraction, and I want to say this, and for those people that are secret endorsers, I don't want you to think that I'm taking you away from your basis, because I'm not. I aspire to The Secret. But I want you to know that that is Egyptology teaching. It came right out of the tombs of the Egyptian, and there's nothing new under the sun. We have possessed that knowledge, and if the Africans were able to agree to it, we are Egyptians, and I don't care what anyone say, we are the Nubians, and those ancestors who were in those tombs that died and went down during the dynasty. That was at the latter stage when they built those tombs, because they knew they were transitioning, but their greater days in the dynasty, they were involved in mental telepathy. They were involved in transcendental meditation and levitating. That exactly is how the pyramids were born. As I began to confide in my deities and ancestors, they told me that there was a need for a scalpel, because these particular people were endowed with enough energy and connection to God that they could use their mind, which was strong enough to be able to lift blocks and build pyramids. So if that DNA is in them and their chakras, their indigo chakra, and all of the chakras that are lined up are into place, and if we are exercising all of these things in our body the way they were, there is nothing new under the sun. We could perform those same acts. And I hope you don't think it's strange that when they talked about our ancestors coming through the middle passes, that when they got off the boats, some of them still had everything intact, because it took 65 years to make a slave. We didn't come here slaves. So the 65,000 years that it took to make slaves, in the meantime, those people were levitating, and they flew across the water, and it was documented that they levitated high enough to leave the ground and to fly off the plantation. I know it has to be true, because some of those Africans were straight descendants from the Egyptian dynasty. And the reason why I say that it's not just one or two, there's not any chosen few, I say this because we are all from tribes, and if we got our DNAs done, we will see that we can trace ourselves back as far as to the Twa people. I am not only a history teacher, but I'm aspiring to be a comedic teacher, to learn more, because African religion is not something that I dabble in. I use it in my classroom. It's not something I just talk about. I work with some of the professional gentlemen who and females who lecture, like Dr. Carruthers, one of our great lecturers, I'm a comedic teacher, Dr. Rana Neffer, who actually created Asa's Set. So I'm taking this thing serious to the point where I know that it's important for me to learn more about my history and culture than just civil rights movement and the inception of slavery. That is not the beginning of our history. And for those of you who are African American or have any melanin in your blood out there, you're going to want to understand something. If you start your history off at the inception of slavery, you are going to be so depressed to the point of needing to have medical treatment. And that's what's wrong with a large portion of our people now. They're saddened by condition, their spirits are broken, and they're hopeless because they don't see themselves in the future and don't realize that just like the Alpha and Omega, the last will be first and the first will be last. We are looking at a cycle of the 420-year cycle where the rulership of the people that are currently ruling now, the people of the dynasty who are ruling now, the people of darkness who are ruling now, are due to transition, and we are due to come back into rulership again. My question is, will we be ready Will we be awake in time? Will we find ourselves? Will we know ourselves? And will we come back to our African comedic teachings, to our Ifa teachings? That's my question, Ms. Bradford. Do you think awake in time?
Wait a minute. I would like to comment on some of what you were saying. You got to keep in mind, you got to crawl before you can walk now. With the days of levitation and pyramid building, you got to realize the earth supported that. Okay? It was more what you call chi energy on the planet. And so you could have people disappearing, you know, levitating and all of that. But see, this is a different earth. This is a different time. So we're under different circumstances than our ancestors were. So what we have to do, we're going to take their teachings and we're going to have to adapt them to our situation. You see what I'm saying? You got to be on the level that the masses are on with it. See, in spiritual growth, you have, it's steps. You know, you don't just meditate one time and then say, I'm enlightened. It's a process. Hello?
Oh, I'm here. I'm listening. And as you say that, yes, that's why I indicated earlier, no one becomes a self-priest without a teacher. And the reason why I say that, I'm a master teacher. And even for me, and as learned as I think I am with a master's degree, I'm still in need of a teacher. And the reason why I say that is because there's something that the Bible says that when the pupil is ready, the teacher will show up. It doesn't have to be a traditional teacher in a class, or it can just be a mentor. But we definitely have to be rightly guided, because sometimes there is a large portion of us who are not rightly guided. And I've seen it in this profession where they're so misguided. They use these gifts and abilities for evil and wicked and for control. Then it gives the organization a bad name. Let me finish. It gives them a bad name, and then you got people afraid to come in it because they don't want to be associated with it. I want to say that because I've seen people say, okay, are there blood sacrifices? And why are these people putting spells on people? Ifa and the Kemetic does not teach wicked spirits or wicked energies for you to practice doing wicked things. That is not a part of Kemetic or Ifa. That's wicked people who've gotten this information and used it the wrong way. We are physicians. We are diagnosticians. I worked in the hospital professionally for six years with patients working in the cancer ward, where they use only my energy. After they discover I was an energy healer, they told me to put down all of my respiratory apparatus and to go with the chaplain and to go about healing. These were people who saw the energy in me and said that I know you are energy healer, your avatar, and just your presence there will bring about healing. Now, there are people who have a desire to heal, and there are people who have a desire to control and use these gifts the wrong way. Ifa and also the Kemetic will turn, and Ifa does not allow you to take these gifts and misuse them for your own personal benefits to pursue envy or vendettas on people. And that kind of control, we want to employ the African Americans out there. You don't want this for that kind of control, because you don't want the whooping that the ancestors and spirits can put on you. When you are endowed in this, you better be about the business of healing and prescribing and assisting. And if you're not, then definitely do not get involved in this, because this is not for those who are dealing in game playing. I want to stress that. When you say so, Mrs. Bradford?
Yes. One thing, you have to heighten the people's awareness and help them develop spiritually, and therefore they won't put these gifts to bad uses. Okay? You know, this is a process. It just takes time. And you have to address the people at their present level. In other words, for them to understand And you want them to absorb it in the spirit. You don't want it to be just intellectual knowledge. You know, I know people with, hey, libraries of knowledge and little spirituality.
Absolutely.
See, and this is what you want. They need methods for getting to internalize this stuff. And the best method is meditation.
Mm-hmm. See, speaking of meditation, I like to point out here for the audience that meditation is something we definitely want to employ you to read more about, the Transcendental Meditation, the Kabbalah, Tree of Life Meditation. There are several different forms of meditation, and right here today I'm not aspiring to any particular one. You have to research that for yourself. It's a form of behavior modification, but it will allow you to practice exercising your right side of your hemisphere of your brain so that you can then begin to get into your creative side, which is pretty much 80% underwater right now, laying dormant. You're probably only using about 20% of your conscious brain, meaning that your left side is dominant over your right side. And as we go into the deep beta state of going to sleep and becoming unconscious, institutions have found that you can practice studying while unconscious, and that was a tool that many of us in college use. I know I use that now. Whenever you want to memorize something or be able to call it to memory, you go into this deep, deep meditation where you're almost in a slumber. And the churches might not know this, but I want to point this out. When you go into church, the main thing and the highlight of that evening in that service is that you want someone to go into a deep spirit. You want the energies to be high in the church so that everyone will feel this frequency and they will go into this deep trance and they will jump around. And they always say, let them go. They know what they're doing. The spirit is in control here. He won't let them hurt himself. That comes from Africa. I don't care what anybody says. That's a stolen concept from Africa. So the majority of our churches are practicing a tool that they brought over from Africa and don't know it. So while you're in that trance, you are
using it.
And you have to know how to use it, because if you're using this and that's when you have the most power, then that's when you want to tap into your Godhead so he can speak to you about your situation or speak to the audience about the congregational or the community. It's a communal effort. So all of these energies, we call it a bembe. When we come together with our African tradition in our society of Ifa, we all begin to dance and we chant each one of the Orisha songs, and the dances go along with the Orishas. Each one of them are unique, and they have a word of power. Someone gets possessed in the middle of that dance, and as they get possessed, they allow their mouth to be a mouthpiece to speak to the congregation or the community, to give a word of knowledge to the community. That's a benefit in being thrown in the spirit in the churches as well as in the bembe. And that is when we have an eye into the unseen world. And that is when we have an opening for the spirit to speak to us. And it's so valuable for the African-American. Solutions are found. They've been able to diagnose. They've been able to correct and master things that they couldn't do in the natural. When they come out of these trance, sometimes they're even healed if there is a metabolic condition or disorder. And I want us to understand that is the benefit of us going back to get our stuff and to employ it. If not in our churches, then in our homes, we must get that back. That's where our power lies. And I also spoke on the fact that even some of the entertainers were well enough to keep, they had kept this in their society, in their culture. When they were on stage, they used the figure eight to arouse their people, to put their people in a state of mind so that they can receive. And just like now, I'm told that other societies have gotten a hold of this, and they have literally put our people in a trance so that they're not able to receive, and they're using this to their benefit, yet we're running high and low saying, I don't want anything to do with African religion, and the best part of what we have to offer, we're giving it away.
Yes,
we're giving it away, Mrs. Bradford.
Yes, you have, but you have to be aware of what you're giving away. First, Right? So you have to make them help the people become aware. And they need to know how to use this power in their everyday lives. How, basically, how to meditate, how to address the inner. See, this is, in my opinion, why I don't care for Christianity. It's, first of all, it has no ritual to address the inner. Everything is external. No, you can't, well, they say oracles are evil. Anything to me that would empower you is taken away from you. And see, I'm not really in favor, too, of monotheistic religions anyway, because they're slavery. The more gods or deities you have to deal with, the more choices and options you got.
See, that's right.
The goals of man, you want to be free. And the only way you can be that, you got to be guided by your own consciousness. But if you don't have a method to address it, such as meditation, you know, you just all head, so to speak, intellect.
And
you know,
let me also say this, Ms. Bradford, that each one of us have been given a mission. I don't know if anybody has ever watched The Daughters of the Dust. When Nana Padez said, "It is up to the living to stay in touch with the dead," she was desperately trying to hold on to the old traditions and give every one of her children a little piece of herself. So she created the juju bag to pass on to them so that these would be things that would protect them. I am in full persuasion that that is necessary for today, because everywhere you travel, even though you're not in the ships, you're passing through the annals of the belly of the whale, and you need protection. When you go in the courtroom, you need protection. When you go in the courtroom, there is a persuasion that goes on, a swaying of the jury. You need protection. There are many people locked up today because they have no one to preside over them. Now, I understand that in the comedic teaching, there is someone who is Tahuti is residing over the legal affairs. And when you go into these courtrooms, some of the lawyers are smart enough to seek Tahuti to be a part of them, to be a part and to possess himself in them, so that when he goes in, he's powerful in that legal area. These are lawyers that are practicing and understand how our things and our and all of our gifts that they can benefit, but yet we have no access to legal authorities. We're using, we go in and they assign you somebody who's not even a lawyer, and we depend on them to help us through our life. We got to stop that. We got to stop going in and let them assign us somebody that is for the state or for the city, and then we have no protection, and we're at the mercy of the people, but yet we don't want to use juju, or we don't want to consult our ancestors. You're dumb, and you're foolish, and you need to wake up, because these are your tools that you have to consult and ask for help. These are the things that you don't need so that you're not going in there saying,
your life.
Yes, you got to take control of your life, and you got to make sure you know what is there to benefit you. But if you don't know, you don't have any access to it.
Well, that's the priest's job. This is what the churches should be doing, is helping you access that energy, making you aware that you had of your inward self, of your divine self. But no, they tell you basically to worship some external being. I'm not trying to insult anybody, Jesus Christ, but, you know, maybe Jesus Christ was good and everything, but whatever enlightenment he had, it was his. What about you?
And it's not about telling people there's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. There are many paths to God. Jesus Christ is only one way to God, and I believe the same way as Oprah does. She said that openly, and I'm going to take a step out and say it openly. There are many paths to get to God, and not only one. Jesus Christ was our eldest brother sent here for the Hebrews, not sent here for the world. And once we realize that, we will realize that there are many other religions that were preceded Jesus Christ before he was ever born. So if that's the case, then you are telling me that those people like Moses and all of those other great people didn't have a great Savior, and nobody was saved until Jesus came, and that's not true.
Well, the thing with Jesus Christ, Moses, and whatever, they were great in their time. You see what I'm saying? You're talking about 3,000 years ago. What about now? See, we keep trying to bring things of the past. See, Jesus Christ, there is debate as to whether he ever existed. Okay? Because now, in my opinion, he is the committed deity of Ruth.
That's right. And
that's
he was an ancestor as well.
So that was from the ancestors. But, you know, of course, the Europeans got their stories about this Jesus Christ, but he is what they call the Ra, the sun god.
Right.
In disguise.
And there's been so many misnomers about the sun that it rises and sets, and we're now discovering that the sun never rises or moves, and the rotation that we've been taught is really not a rotation at all. So things are coming to life now, Ms. Bradford, and they're coming to life so that you can get the truth. And the truth is when people say that Jesus did all these healings, yes, he might have did all the healings, but he also had to go to Africa, to Egypt, to go through the 365 degrees of knowledge and to the school of metaphysics so he can learn to use metaphysics because there were sorcerers in that time. So he went to school to learn how to hypnotize the fish or to make the fish commit suicide and jump into the net. He had a way with words, and he used these powerful words to cause these things to be under his command, just like we have those authorities now. And a word of power is what we need to be able to reenact the same things he did, because he did say greater things that we will do. Now it's time for us to step in our proper places. And if we are gods, we have the word of command within our lineage, and we can speak it. And if we're going to overthrow what is yoke has been put on our back, now is the time to do it more so than ever before, because we are trapped in a society where the whole ship is sinking. Money is coming to a point of not even being valuable, so your money won't save you, or your material things won't save you
either.
You it's probably going
to
be your spirit.
Dissolve the ego. That's what's going to have to happen. See, we're in a place ran by the ego. That's why there's always competition. Nothing's ever good enough. You can't be at peace if you always running after something.
Mm-hmm.
How can you be? And you got to dissolve that ego.
And if we
are
going to
do that,
if we go within and realize that material things are no longer going to be of value, and the bigger your spiritual base of consciousness, the greater your riches are, because you are going to be able to frame your needs out of your consciousness. If you have great assets and consciousness, you can create the biggest mansion you want out of your consciousness. But if you're not endowed with consciousness, you're not going to be able to create the home, because there will be no need for a physical building.
Well, you're
going to
be controlled by external forces if you know, you don't drop the ego. External forces will always control you. See, you don't have a lot of control over external things, but the inner, you have total control, see?
Absolutely.
See, that's what I mean by taking charge of your life. It's about the inner, y'all. You know, they fool you to make you think, you know, it's about the big house, land, and whatever.
But it's really
those
the beginning. It's the beginning. When you say it's the beginning, Ms. Bradford, now you're finally freeing yourself of material things. You can begin a new start with dealing with the inner power. And with this new dispensation, if we are going to a level of killing off the old, creating a spiritual society where we are at a different level, now is the time for us to be able to strengthen ourselves so that when we come into the new dispensation, we're looking at dealing with pure spirit, and we are not in need of any material thing.
I'm saying you got to go to the inner for all of that, for that desire for material things, for you to transcend all of that. That's what your spiritual development is about. And you got to go
Absolutely.
To the inner for it.
Absolutely.
You know, like I say, things come and
stuff. I want to also point out, as we talked about meditation, I want to take a brief minute here while we synchronize our vital signs. And when you are meditating, you're taking deep breaths, and you are not at that point thinking on all the day's cumbersome things. You're just taking deep breaths and allowing the excess breath to come out and to breathe in the Creator so that you have His essence. And as you go into that deep slumber, remember one thing, people, that you're going into a deep slumber so that you can awaken that subconscious mind. We're going to have Ms. Bradford on today and tomorrow, and we are going to hope for many more people to call in this evening so that they can get information.
Has anyone called in?
The audience has not called in at this time of the day. I will be able to contact some people, and we'll get more calls hopefully tomorrow. That number again is 646-478-0670. And we have Mrs. Bradford in the audience as our guest this evening. Mrs. Bradford is a trained self-initiated priestess from the Ashar Aset set, and her training has been vast in the area of spirituality. And we have a few more questions we want to ask Mrs. Bradford, reading, in oracle reading, could you tell us a little bit about what happens in the oracle reading and who is in order to have an oracle reading, and why would you want to have an oracle reading?
Well, why would you want to have an oracle reading? Now, when I do oracle readings, it's somebody I've never read before. The first thing I do for them is a destiny reading. Because that helps them, first of all, know why you on the planet. You know, what energies are governing your being. And knowing that, sometimes it may help a person decide what career to go into, you know, where to live, who to be with, and whatnot. You know what forces. You want to pick forces that are harmonious with the energy that you brought to the planet. Also, the kinetic oracle is divined by Tahuti. That's the god of wisdom. You want solutions to your problem. You want solutions that won't cause other problems. In other words, you want always win-win situations.
And I'd like to thank our guest today. We're going to have her back. We're up on the 60 seconds now. We're going to have Mrs. Bradford come back again at 6:30 tomorrow. So for you listening audience, please do join us. And Mrs. Bradford, thank you so very much. We're coming up on the 60 second here, and I want to talk to all of those listeners out there. Please do join us tomorrow. And for the rest of our segment, we will also have on Freddie. We'll be on Friday talking about natural cooking, holistic cooking. And we'll also have our raw specialist coming on this Saturday. And once again, thank you so very much, Ms. Bradford. And please do call us tomorrow.
Me.
Okay? And
okay.
They will be counting down the 60 second here. And as I said, this is Care to Read, and you have your Omniinka 7 here. I'm your provider as well as your advisor. We are dealing with consumer and family education under Care to Read. We're focusing in on a complete spiritual lifeline, and Mrs. Bradford has talked to us about what it takes to be spiritual. And for you church members, please do tune in tomorrow and give us a call. We want to help you find a solution to let you know that it's okay to practice your heritage and it's okay to be African. The question is to be or not to be African. And on that note, we would like to say that it's all right to practice your African spirituality. You need these tools. You need all of these things to be wholesome and to be able to function. You need rituals in your life. and you need to know that it's safe to be a part of this. And this is not some juju, this is not some voodoo, or this is not high down the cutthroat, but this is our African lineage. And it's okay to be a part of being a spiritualist or being a priestess or a Yalade. All of these things, whatever you want to call it, but also being a practitioner of healing is the most thing that our society needs. With a society that is so sick, we need to give administering help to all of the people that are mentally depressed and need assistance. And hopefully this will help them to throw out the yokes of oppression because of the Middle Passage movement, which caused them to be in post-traumatic stress. Some of these things will help alleviate that. And once again, do have a great day. And we say Asante Sana, thank you. Ajuba, Ajuba, blessings, blessings. Thank you very much. And we're on our way to Canaan land.
I'm on my way.
And Mrs. Bradford, thank you once again, and we do look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
Yes, of course.
Okay.
See you tomorrow.
All right, very good.
Bye-bye.
We're on our way to Canaan land, and thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for being a part of our show. Hopefully you'll be back here with us tomorrow. That number, once again, is 646-478-0270. Thank you very much, and hopefully you're full of the spirit and vibrating tomorrow and can be a part of our listening audience and ask questions. Thank you.